When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maybe eventually find a girlfriend. That'd be cool.
I want to see you try Dave's Hot Chicken Reaper.
Oh, that's rude.
Oh, God, that smells like your mother.
I feel like at all moments, something is behind me, and that just makes me very uncomfortable.
Dude, shut up.
The black hair, the tattoos, the small wiener. I mean.
What's up, guys? My name's Joe, host of the Lightweights Podcast. Today, we have Johnny Gilbert.
Filming content with people, I have a hard time with it.
It's easier for you to do them by yourself?
No.
it's not at all. Hard. Musician, content creator, and all-around awesome dude.
Depends. Like, is it like a kissing challenge with Mr. Beast?
Yeah, whoever kisses Mr. Beast the longest.
I'd win.
Johnny's a musician, a content creator. He's been on the internet since the day the internet was concepted. Is that a word? Concepted? So once this episode's over, go check out Johnny's music. Make sure to subscribe to him. And make sure to subscribe here. We're almost at 31,000 subscribers.
And subscribe to this one.
Yeah, subscribe to this one. What do you do? So without further ado, Johnny Gilbert.
These are great couches.
I just got them.
Oh, legit.
Shout out Cozy.
Just for me.
I did. And then I'm going to get them back, get rid of them.
Yeah. Yeah, perfect.
You can take them, actually.
We're renting them.
You've been doing internet videos for so long.
Yeah.
What...
I'm tired.
What drew you into the internet?
I watched a lot of internet creators. I mean, back in the day, obviously, like, YouTubers like Smosh and Shane Dawson and a friend of mine now, D-Fizzy. And then there was, you know, a person that I eventually lived with, Brian Stars. He was in the alt community. I watched these people and I didn't really connect with school and stuff. And I just dove into it. And I really attempted... Originally, when I was like 12, I attempted making like videos like Fred. So I would like speed up my voice. Well, without speeding up my voice, I would just talk fast. Because I didn't know how to edit. So I just went like that. And I did like videos like Ryan Higa and stuff like that too. And that channel got deleted. But then I just you know, continued that. And now I'm here.
How much of your time did you devote to the internet? Was it like you were in school and as soon as you got home, you were thinking about doing videos?
Well, I mean, I really like... Especially during middle school and high school, I would fight with my mom about going to school because of my social anxiety and shit. It just got so bad. And then the depression started coming in. So with school, it was like something I really pushed to the side almost. And I kind of avoided. And with internet stuff, though, I was very invested in just social media, like people, but also bands and stuff, too. Like I would watch bands being interviewed by anybody. And I would watch them multiple times. Like I still like... You'll see comments from 9 years ago of me like on band interviews of like Never Shot Never and Panic the Disco, like all those like old, like, you know, alternative bands. And it really was my life, and it still kind of is. I still do the same exact thing, to be quite honest. I know way too much about social media. Like I was just telling you, I've watched your podcast for so long at this point, probably like 2 years or three at this
Thank
point.
You.
Just like, yeah, just seeing it. At least it feels that long. I don't know how long it's actually been going on.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's so funny, and that's why I was so excited to talk to you, because I was the exact same way, and no one else in my friend group or my school was on YouTube, and I would go on, and you find all these interviews about with All Time Low,
yeah.
And people on Warped Tour, and it's like, whoa, that's really what it's like,
yeah.
And I still go back when I'm at the gym, I'm watching the Blink-182 tour diaries from...
Even if you've already seen them.
Because I love rewatching them.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, Tom still can't find Target.
Yeah.
It's the best.
Yeah.
And it just opened up such a world. And I would do like comedy sketch videos back then, but they never got any traction. So when you started doing it, you were doing...
Originally, it was mostly like vlogs and challenges. And then...
And how much editing were you doing then?
It was pretty bare minimum. I mean, I originally started on a channel when I was like 12, which is deleted now. And then I went to the website YouNow, which is like a live streaming platform that people used to use a lot. and it had quite a traction. Like, I mean, back when I was starting on it, like Eugenia Cooney was just starting on there, and Luke Corns and stuff, people that like, you know, and Chris O'Flynn, and you know, then myself, and I was probably 14 or so, like doing live streams and getting a couple hundred viewers, because at the time, originally, only one person could be live in each category too, or you'd get voted off. So, but yeah, that was my introduction, and then eventually I started the channel that I'm still on, and that was originally mostly just challenges in the beginning, and like vlogs, and maybe some really bad covers that I would do when I barely knew how to play music at all. So
would you just go on Ultimate Guitar and try and figure out the tabs?
I would just like look up guitar chords, and I would try my best to, yeah, I would just like, I was pretty new to playing instruments. I started guitar when I was probably 12, and I did like lessons for a year, and then I just kind of figured it all out afterwards on my own. But I wasn't very good, and I didn't know how to do vocals at all, and I still, you know, I'm not the best, but yeah, I just screwed around forever, and I still am kind of just screwing around with it, you know? Well, there's nothing new.
How many views were you pulling in then?
Honestly, it was, when I originally started, I mean, it was pretty good for, like, a young kid. I mean, when I was, I mean, with the channel I'm on now, I would say, like, because I started collabing with a YouTuber that I eventually moved in with named Brian Stars, and he had an audience already for being an alternative interviewer, and I probably, I don't know, like 50,000 at least, like something around there. It was pretty good for the time. I mean, that was like 2014 or something, you know?
And at that time, you weren't monetized or anything, right?
I mean, it took time. I probably would say like a month or two in for sure, yeah.
Oh, they did have AdSense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was AdSense.
Were you living off that?
Originally, I have such a weird story. So I like dropped out of high school. I moved in with Brian, who's like 24 or something.
In Australia?
No, not Australia. He lived in Nebraska, which is kind of the same.
Why? Did you ever live in Australia?
No. My friend Jordan Sweeto lived in Australia, though. He was in a collab channel I did.
I didn't think you did. And there were so many different websites saying you spent time in Australia for 2 years.
Oh, no, I've never been. I almost went, but for a tour. But
I have to delete my kangaroo question.
Yeah, there was a big sea. I don't know if you're allowed to say COVID.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that happened. And I was going to do a tour, but that happened. So that would have been my one time going to Australia. But no, never been there. But yeah, I moved in with Brian when I was younger. I was probably 15. I dropped out of high school. And I originally met him on his tour. And he just saw that, oh, you want to do this? You're an alternative guy. It's a very weird story that wouldn't probably happen nowadays. But yeah, that's when I started my YouTube channel, at least the one that I'm on now. And originally my mom was just helping me out financially, you know, with like a couple $100 a week or whatever, you know, to live out there. And then eventually I started making some AdSense, and I was probably, I don't know how much money I was making, because I had this severe money anxiety. So like not until probably a year or two ago, I was not able to look at my bank account. Like I just literally, and even still, it's still kind of hard. Something I have to push myself through, even though I'm fine, but it's a weird thing that I have in my mind.
Right. So, were you going on the tours doing band interviews?
I did help him with that. That's the craziest thing about it now, looking back. I was like 14 and I kind of was just like, you know, I didn't even understand the concept of fully like these guys, like fame is still like, so like not really real in a sense, but that these people are like, you know, admired and stuff. So I would be like, originally I went on Brian's third tour and I did merch, which didn't really work out because I didn't know how to do math. And I was like 15. And then people wanted to take photos with me because I was hanging around him, and it's like, oh, cute emo guy. Like, you know, that was like the time. And then after that, I started helping him film his interviews. So like he would go interview Black Veil Brides or, you know, all the bands really, like Sigma Sirens, Never Shout Never, etc.
Did you help with the Never Shout Never interviews?
Only the third one.
Not the second one.
Not the second one, all luckily. Right. I know. Yeah, not that one. But that was the weirdest thing, because Never Shout Never was like my biggest, he was my first concert and my biggest inspiration.
Where'd you see him?
Santa Cruz.
Was it just him in the uke, or did he have the full band?
He had a full band. And yeah, it was like a very big inspiration to me. And then Brian became like my really good friend. And then I'm like in the middle of like, but then they eventually made up and stuff. And then now they're both, I don't know what they're doing anymore, but yeah, no, originally that was kind of, how it went though. I would film some of the interviews with the camera and stuff. And, I filmed quite a lot of bands like Of Mice and Men and all that stuff. You'll sometimes see me in the background as like, or Falling in Reverse and stuff. I would be like, just around as a 15-year-old filming the bands and then do my own vlogs and stuff. It's very weird.
Were you vlogging with Ronnie?
I have some videos. I don't know if I have any videos with Ronnie, but I know I have like Danny Warsnop in a video from Asking Alexandria and Kellen Quinn. Even if I didn't film with these people, I was around these people a lot.
And was that so exciting for you?
I did not. I mean, yes, but I did not understand the magnitude of what it means until now that I'm actually an adult. And it's like, oh, these bands are still like talked about and stuff. Or some of them have made like, I mean, you look at Pierce the Veil now and it's like they're bigger than they've ever been. And it's crazy because I'd be like at Warped Tour. I didn't even listen to them at the time, you know, very well, like not very much. And I'd just be around Vic or something like in catering and stuff as like a 16-year-old. It was just, that was it. So it's very weird.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever found yourself in a spot where talking to someone you know might lead to some kind of judgment that you don't want from them? You shouldn't have to leave that all bottled up. I've been there. When I was dealing with some family issues, you get tangled up and do you want to talk to your friends? You want to talk to someone that you're not that close with? And sometimes neither of those are the right choices. I needed someone who wouldn't judge me and had a fresh perspective. I needed someone to help me get through the storm. And that in the hobby, it's not easy being a fan of ripping packs or repacks. We hype ourselves up thinking we could pull one of the best autographs in the game, but guess what? With zero transparency on available cards and hit rates, it's all just a shot in the dark. Until now. Introducing Slab Packs from ArenaClub.com. The only repack that provides real value, a complete view of all possible cards, and clear hit rates for each one. Now, when I buy Slab Packs on Arena Club, it finally feels like I know what I'm getting. What I love is the display of the available cards, the hit rates, and the grading. Arena is a marketplace for card collecting, buying, trading, selling, displaying, and with Arena Club Slab Packs, they're revolutionizing the repack game with transparency. After your pulls are revealed, they'll immediately be placed in your vault for safekeeping or trading and selling. You can have them officially graded by Arena Club. The Arena Club grading process is accurate, fast, and transparent, with a full grade rationale provided and explanation of how your card was scored. So whether you're buying, selling, trading, or displaying, Arena Club is the card collecting platform you have to check out. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/lightweights. Wow, that's a crazy offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack. That's $40 right there. Anyways, go to arenaclub.com/lightweights for 10% off your first purchase. This episode is sponsored by Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning platform available on desktop or as an app, and that it truly immersifies you in the language that you want to learn. Maybe you have an upcoming international trip or you want to connect with a family or a friend. I know a lot of people who want to learn a new language just to pick up a new hobby. I can personally attest to this as I used Rosetta Stone when I went to Italy for my honeymoon. It helped me brush up on the Italian that I learned back in school, and I was able to get through the land and speak the native language. It made it so much more fun, plus my wife loved it. They're the trusted expert for 30 years with millions of users and 25 languages offered. Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish. There's no English translation, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language. Plus, there's lifetime membership and access to all 25 language courses Rosetta Stone offers for 50% off. A steal. Don't put off that language learning. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, Lightweights podcast listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language learning courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today. It's the Joe Guarantee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That is when I turn to therapy. BetterHelp is the sponsor of today's video, and I've used them before. They make it easier than ever to connect with a licensed therapist based on your specific needs, whether you're dealing with family or friends. BetterHelp has you covered. What I find impressive about BetterHelp, and one of the key reasons why I was so excited to partner with them, is that they prioritize you. They care about your comfort and convenience. You can have your sessions through your phone. You can have them through webcam. You can even have them through messaging. It's whatever works best for you. And if you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit for you, you can switch at no additional cost.
cost. It's all about ensuring that you get all the support that you need. So if you're feeling stuck or you might just need someone to talk to, consider trying BetterHelp. So use my link, betterhelp.com/uhitsjoe for 10% off your first month. It's a step towards finding peace and moving forward in life. Just know there's somebody there ready to listen and help guide you through it. Can we talk about Warped Tour?
Yeah, Warped Tour, yeah.
What was your experience on it?
I mean, there was a lot of interesting factors because Warped Tour has a lot of like really good things about it. And then obviously there was like the dark side of the allegations with bands and stuff. And me being a child on that tour, there was like a lot of bands that I was around that eventually got called out for that stuff that I was like almost somewhat friends with. So as like a child, it's like you're already like having a hard time comprehending that that's even a thing, let alone like seeing like, oh, this guy was my friend and now I shouldn't be friends with them, you know? So, but besides that, like, I mean, it was so positive, but, definitely not a traditional experience I was definitely probably the youngest person to ever be on Warped Tour, actually, on the actual tour.
Was it as hard as they said it was?
For me, like the hardest parts of, well, okay. So there's a couple hard parts. Like I was just getting into YouTube and I was only pretty much recognized for being friends with people that were already on YouTube. I was just like the side character, but I had cute emo hair, I guess. And so the Warped YouTubers was a thing and it was a couple people and the lines were massive. Like it was thousands of people and it never ended.
For wanting to meet you guys.
For wanting to meet them. And then I was there. Yeah.
You're so funny.
And yeah, so we would meet people constantly, and then bands did not always enjoy that because they're like, oh, the music, you know, this is before bands really were all doing social media at this time and understanding that this is kind of where it's, you got to do both. But yeah, like we would be just doing the meet and greet lines, and sometimes parents would get mad at us, and sometimes we would, you know, have to end our line because there was just like a rule like, hey, you meet people for 3 hours and then, you know, you got to stop because we don't want the whole tour to just be a meet and greet forever. Yeah. So it'd be stuff like that. And then there would also be the, yeah, for me, like a hard thing. The hardest thing for me on tour is using the restroom. Like I fucking hate using public restrooms.
Are you nervous?
Especially number two, fuck that.
Oh,
hell no. So I learned very young how to just hold my bladder for like a week.
So for 3 weeks straight.
Yeah. No, straight up. I would like just not go. It's insane. Until we had like a hotel room every now and then or something. I don't know why. It was very rare. So that was one thing. And then like showers obviously were very difficult because especially like me being younger, because a lot of them would like, there would be like random, like, oh, you have the option of a public shower or whatever. I'm like, I'm fucking 16. I don't want to use that. Like,
yeah.
And I'm just like nervous around people. So it would be stuff like that. But Warped Tour all in all was like such a great experience. And I wish as an adult, I got to experience it. And I hope maybe one day there's something like that or it comes back and I get the opportunity to, I don't know, be a part of it to some degree. It'd be great.
Do you go to a lot of shows? Cause this all stemmed from me seeing you at water parks. I knew. Oh yeah. Before. Yeah. But I saw you at water parks.
I've been branching out lately to experience life more. I've never been like, show culture I love. I don't always care to actually watch the artists.
I noticed you were really watching.
Yeah. I mean, like, I like hearing it and stuff, but there's so much, like, I just love catching up with people or meeting people that watch my content as well. Not that I'm trying to make it a meet and greet or anything, but it is very nice to, like, have an actual conversation. And, like, hearing the band is obviously a nice thing as well, and just the atmosphere. So I do like it, but I didn't really go to shows for a while. Like I would go a couple times a year, but I just went to Coachella as well. That was my first time. That was really fun, and I was just getting over being sick. That was tough, but I really didn't want to have the FOMO of not going. But yeah, with water parks and stuff, like, yeah, I mean, it's cool. I think I would like to play shows more, but it's scary, so, you know,
being in front of the crowd.
Yeah, and just, like, also, like, at this point, I feel like, for the most part, I would love to do, like, a full band thing, and I've never done a full band thing, so, it just takes away from YouTube and everything, so it's really hard to, like, figure out if it's worth it necessarily. Like, obviously, it kind of is to a degree if you really want to do it, but it's really hard because I want to balance everything, and it's just so impossible at this point, like, to, hey, you got to stream, you got to do TikToks, you got to do post on this social media, and then you got to do YouTube videos, and you got to be in these people's videos, and it's like, and then you want to also do music recording wise and music videos and merch and all that stuff. So it's like So it becomes a lot.
Totally. I feel like you're killing it on all fronts, and like Thanks. TikTok, YouTube, being in other people's videos. Yeah. Exactly what you said. It's just so much time.
Yeah.
Who's part of your team? You just have one editor?
Yeah.
That's it.
I hired my sister recently to like be my assistant to like help me with emails. And then I just signed to a management for YouTube stuff and like brand deals and stuff like that. So hopefully that goes well and stuff. And maybe they'll help me with music as well. But besides that, I no label. I've been hit up by a lot of labels and stuff, but I've never really moved forward because I just don't really, it's just so, I'm interested in it and I do like the idea of it, but it's just so businessy that it overwhelms me because I'm like, I don't understand what you're even saying, you know?
Right.
And like, I want to own the rights to everything that I do. So I get, and I don't think they're always trying to pry into that, but like, I just.
So all your music you own?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I mean, I might like here and there, I might give a percentage to like my producer or whatever, but like I own, from my knowledge, I own it all. Yeah.
Before this episode continues, I have to talk about one of my favorite sponsors. The reason we have such a beautiful set. Huge shout out to Cozy. Cozy are these incredible sofas. I have pillows from them. I have media stands from them. They are the premier number one furniture I've ever had. Guys, I built this all myself with the most ease I've ever had in my entire life. And I've bought so much furniture from other competitors. I'm not going to say who, but it is impossible to put together. You put the door on backwards. The instructions are not clear. The packaging of Cozy is so perfect. The build me guides are so easy to understand. We just got two more media stands today, and my wife was so excited to put it together. I also got these really cool wall mounts, which I'm going to be putting in the next podcast studio. So whether you just moved, you're planning on moving, you need to get furniture for anything, check out Cozy's website. Cozy and I are going to have a very long-term relationship because I really do love their stuff. So huge shout out to Cozy. Thank you guys so much for making this podcast amazing. The sofas are incredible. And the number one thing, every time anyone comes over, I love these chairs. And if you want, go check out Cozy. They're going to be linked down below. Now back to the episode. How does the filming balance work between you, Jake, and Tara?
How does it work? Like filming? What do you...
Are you just hitting them up? Like, hey, can we film a video and they're already down?
Yeah, usually... So Jake is like very like move. So like he'll like literally just one day sometimes wake up and be like, hey, can we do this video?
And what's your reaction?
Usually I'm like down. I mean, I try to be as helpful as I can. And I know it's beneficial for myself to be in content and, you know, he's my friend and stuff. So it's like, that's just how it should be. But, and I'm sometimes like that as well. But usually I like to, I have a really hard time asking people to be in my videos. Like a lot of my videos I do alone because I just, even if it's my friends or whatever, I just feel like a burden and shit. So it's, I don't know why. It's just something I've always had in my head. But I try to, and I just have like, I don't know, filming content with people. I have a hard time with it.
It's easier for you to do them by yourself?
No.
it's not at all. Hard.
No, it's just as hard, but I just don't like to bug people or like to take time from people and stuff. So I just like, I'm very torn. When it comes to, Tara, Jake and stuff, like, or just me in general, like, yeah, we just ask each other though. I mean, it's very like the old school YouTube route. Like there's no, you know, if it's something more eventful than like, well, like, you know, like Jake's like got an idea that we're going to be doing, I think, I don't know, in like a month or so. And it's, you know, going to be like a 2-day thing or whatever. And for that, you know, we needed a little bit of a heads up and stuff and just to confirm it. But besides that, like, yeah, it's really just like letting us know a day or two before and seeing if we're available and shooting it.
So. I think that's what's so magical about your guys' content is that it is, I don't want to say old school YouTube, but yeah. It's just the friends hanging out rather than a big spectacle.
Yeah. And yeah.
It's so fun to watch.
Thank you. Yeah. I just want to keep on thinking of ideas. And like a lot of people want us to do like, oh, go and adventure and do this. And it's like, I would love to, but I'm tired. Like I want to do a variety of content. Obviously there's like, when you build your shtick, though, it's like people kind of just come for that a lot of the time. I would love to do more eventful stuff and everything, but it's just hard because there's just so finding the balance of also being in other people's content and then like prioritizing yours and stuff. It's like, yeah, that in a way, their content, if I'm in it, is kind of my content to a degree. That's how I see it a little bit, like because I'm still putting my effort into it. So.
And living with Jake now is.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
That's probably easier to film.
Yeah, definitely. And he's just like, he pushes me to like go outside and do stuff. And like, it's changed my life. And, you know, now I've like pushed myself a little bit more like to do stuff on my own. And I'm still like not the best at it, but that and just having someone to always film with and to learn from as well. And then, you know, it's very useful to have that.
So. And now you have Carrington starting to replace you on your channel.
Yeah, Carrington's replacing me. I just filmed a video with Carrington, but that's literally how I introduced it. Because the thing is that people instantly, we've been talking about having Carrington move in since like, I don't know, like December or October we met him. Jake knew him. I just met him around that time. But we brought it up. And then right when Carrington moved in, I was sick for like a week. And so I just like couldn't be a part of the video or anything. And then people are like, oh, he's replacing him. Or people like, I was going through some personal like relationship shit and people like saw that I had sad tweets and then they assumed that me and Jake are fighting. And it's like, no, I'm just going through some heartbreak. So it's like, no, me and Jake have always been good. And Carrington has been so positive. Like when I was sick, like he like brought me medicine and stuff for no reason. Like just, it's just been great. And I think, everyone's personalities are like very similar, but also different variations of each other. And I think that's so important and awesome because obviously my personality usually is like pretty calm. And then you got these two guys that are a little more like hyper energy, like with it. So, and I just think that plays off really well. And then we have Tara that's like, you know,
spicy,
a little spicy, yeah, a little spicy at moments, you know, but in a good way because it all like plays out well. And it's none of it's fake either. It's just like us existing. And that's, you know, maybe a little bit of exaggeration on our personality sometimes because you're on in front of a camera, but
so none of it's fake. When you guys are on the Queen Mary and the door slams shut,
that was not fake.
Or the door slams, it opens, right?
Yeah, it was like some weird fucking door thing. I mean, I was scared shitless. I don't know how I feel about the ghost ideas, like if they're real or not, because like I don't know.
It's terrifying because you guys did it during a seance. Yeah, and then the door opens.
It was always when we brought up Jake, but I was just always like, I'm always like worried about. I don't know. I just don't like ghosts because I feel like I'm going to like look and I'm going to be the one that sees something and no one else is going to see it. And I'm gonna be like, great. That's fucking sick.
God, now I got to deal with this.
But I mean, there's like a point like in that like video where like I literally grabbed Tara's hand because I got scared and everyone's like, oh, they're like, and then he's like, you moved on quick or whatever. And it's like, no, I was just fucking scared. I was like, and then I'm like pushing Jake forward. Like, I'm like,
Is there any hesitation to do those videos?
No, I think we're going to do some more actually pretty soon,
which is going to be cool.
Yeah, I think it's going to be sick. I'm excited to see that one cuz that's going to be next level. But
are you going to
We're doing something cool.
Okay.
But when it comes to what the hell was I saying? Oh, with ghost videos? I mean, it's good. I don't know. I don't want it to be my shtick or anything, but I think it's a cool thing to throw in every now and then.
Would you do a Sam and Colby video?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. That'd be awesome. I mean, they've been like people I've gotten to know very well. It's funny. I met Colby in like 2015 or something. No, not 2015, probably 2016 or something. I don't remember. I don't remember years anymore, but
it's all blur.
Maybe 2018. I don't
yesterday.
Somebody can find the video, but I've known him for a while. And, and then that was like even before they were like super into the ghost videos. And now, to see like that become like their thing is insane. So yeah, I mean, if you're gonna do a ghost video, I feel like they're like the ones to like, they'll find you with something that will be really fun and they'll have it filmed very well. So that'd be awesome.
For that video, did you guys get a, you can get a room on the Queen Mary, but you didn't stay there?
I don't think we did.
But the option is there if you wanted to sleep there.
Yeah, I think we got too scared.
That's wild.
Yeah, well, it was just weird. I don't understand the door thing. Like, it could have just been a shitty door. I don't know. But it kept on, like, the way it was happening was very weird. And obviously, that's, like, who knows? Like, but when you're in that moment, it's like, oh, yikes. And then, like, Tara randomly fell or whatever. I mean, that wasn't, like, a ghost thing. But it's, like, just, like, funny things like that. Like, none of that's planned. Like, I was, like, I literally, like, go up to grab her. I'm, like, are you good? Like, it's just, like, shit like that. So, yeah, no, I would love to do more ghost videos, though. I think they're really fun. The only videos I've been really scared of is Jake and I. One, we did, like, a video where we stayed in a hostel for my channel. And that one was really fun.
Where was that?
We were in New York. And it wasn't scary. Ideally, on paper, it was scary because I wanted to see if it was, like, the movie Hostel at all. I hope not that one, because I made sure it had good reviews, but it was still a very interesting experience. And I don't know if it's something that I would love to do all the time, but it wasn't that. It was like, if you found a good rated one, it's probably not a bad experience.
Are you a big horror movie fan?
I dabble. I mean, I think a lot of them suck.
Did you see Immaculate with Sydney Sweeney?
No, I haven't seen that. No,
really good.
I haven't seen that. I did hear about that though. Then there were and then the only videos I've really been scared of is Jake and I've done like two videos where we stay at the worst reviewed hotels
in LA.
One in LA and one in New York. The one in New York was actually so hard to make the video because we felt like we were in complete danger. The walls were so thin. None of that's played up. It was just completely, it was like a very small square. Like, I mean, it's smaller than this room that we were in. The beds were, it was where people bring girls to, or boys to, you know,
shenanigans,
and then probably drugs and all that stuff. People were asking us if we were filming. Like, it was like,
where in New York?
I have no idea, but it was just, it was a shithole.
And the LA one was fine?
The LA one was also a shithole, but it wasn't, I didn't feel like I was in as much danger as the New York one. The New York one just felt like there was moments where I was like, I don't know if we can film this video because I don't know how we're, like, if we have our camera, you know, and we're walking around, like, it just doesn't feel like we can get away with this and be safe.
And you guys definitely draw attention anyway.
Yeah.
So for people to come.
Yeah, so we just kind of, we made it work, though. I don't know. I would still be probably down to do videos like that. They just, like, have to come and burst, you know, because it's just, like, it's not, like, that stuff is real. Like, that is, like, you're around people that could be doing stuff that they don't want people to know about. Totally. You know? And, like, that's, you know, when you're not around that a lot, you realize, like, you think, like, oh, that's just, you know, it's not really going to happen or anything. But when you're actually in it, you're like, oh, no, this stuff is actually real, so.
Do you try and cycle through that kind of content? So you're trying to do like one of those visiting vlogs and then a food video and then something for someone else? Or is it just whatever comes?
I think like right now I've just been kind of, we've been doing a lot of like sit down videos and like going to store videos. But I think eventually we'll like go back to more of those type of videos and stuff, at least occasionally. I think it's just like really like if we're up for it at the time or if the opportunity comes up. But it's just like, more consistently, like if you're posting a couple times a week or whatever, it's like really hard to like always be traveling and have the capacity mentally to do that. And especially with the music as well, because I'm pretty often like going to a studio and recording or like doing a music video and trying to keep that going as well. So it's like, if it was the only thing I was focusing on, then it would be a lot easier for me to just be like, yeah, let's go travel and totally, that'll be the whole thing. But yeah, I mean, I want to dabble it all in. I want to do so much, but also a part of me just wants to, like, sleep forever. So, you know, I don't know. I guess it will happen when it happens, you know? And it's not like my YouTube is, like, over or anything, my YouTube career. So you'll get them when you get them.
I love seeing you in those environments. I want to see you shopping at, like, Abercrombie.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see you in every mall.
People
want
to see me, like, go to the mall. Yeah, people want to see me go to, like, a gym and, like, yes, work out. Yeah. That would be cool.
Muscle Beach in Venice.
Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen that place, yeah. It's whatever.
Lifting with bodybuilders.
I would get tired in, like, 20 minutes, but, you know, it's fine. That's all you need for the video.
That's all you need. Yeah. Cut it down to 18. I'm sure it'll be fire.
Yeah, that's it, so.
What do you think's the worst thing that's ever happened while you were filming? Whether it was someone coming up to you or some crazy thing that happened while the camera's just rolling?
Like in a negative way or something? I don't
know. Negative, positive, just even like the craziest. Maybe you saw a celebrity like come up to you.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if anything like while I'm filming usually happens, but I mean, I don't know. My friend like was streaming once in a festival and he got like a bomb threat called on him. That was pretty bad.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Stuff like that happens. That's more of like a live stream thing. That wasn't even me filming, but that was like, ooh, that was pretty scary. Because then the cops like came and, but they were chill.
They came for him.
Yeah. They like initially, and I just like moved out of the way because I was like, I don't want to get pulled in. Like, I want to like at least be able to get you out.
Yeah.
But that was one weird situation. Usually, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know at the moment.
Are you enjoying live streaming now?
I enjoyed it yesterday. I had a really good stream. I don't know how to like answer for my whole life. But yeah, there's sometimes I really like enjoy it and then sometimes I don't. And it's weird. Like I want people to be invested into my life and like feel like they like know me. And then sometimes it feels like some people like cross the boundaries of that. And it's a really hard thing to try to figure out. Also, like, lately, we've gotten to the point where, like, our audience is almost, like, some people really don't like our audience at this point because they feel like they're too parasocial.
In what way?
I guess they just compare it to, like, a lot of those Minecraft YouTubers, like, how they had, like, a very, like, oh, like, their fan base is too much or whatever, and, like, too nosy or trying to baby them or whatever. And I just want to say, I don't encourage that. I don't know how it happened. I've just been doing social media for years, you can look at, and it just randomly happened. And I appreciate, I don't think most people have ill intent or anything, but yeah, I can, there's definitely a line or a place where some people can be a little too much or whatever. And I don't really have an answer or a magical power on how to get rid of that or how to make it like balance. So I see it too.
Have you been filming content consistently, never taking a break?
I mean, besides when I've gone to like a mental hospital, yeah.
You didn't vlog there?
No, I didn't. Hey guys, I want to die. No, I did not. But like after that, I like started getting back into it. There was like in 2022 or 2023, people were like, oh, you fell off during that time, which I did. But it was very intentional to a degree. I was still making content, but I just didn't really have the spark in me to actually perform on what people wanted. I just kind of was existing and tired. But now I've been like trying a lot more for sure. And I'm trying to keep it up. But yeah, I mean, like since I started, yeah, I've been pretty active multiple times a week, you know, and also being in other people's videos. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of stupid stuff I've said and done. So if you find those, sorry. But yeah.
What do you think got that spark back for your creativity? Do you want to keep doing it?
Initially it wasn't like fully there, and like there's moments where it's like gone again or whatever. I'm tired again, you know, I talk about it a lot, but or I just like, you know, you'd be on YouTube for so long and you feel like you don't even know what to do anymore to a degree. Like at least that's how I feel. Like I'm like, well, I'm just like kind of repeating the cycle. And I want to like do more than that, so it's kind of tough. But I mean, initially, yeah, like me and Jake met, I was out in LA doing a music video, and then we hung out for a day. And then later on, I came back to LA and we did a music video and a song in like a day or two. And we recorded that. People seemed to like it. And then later on, I came and visited again for like a birthday, one of his birthday or Tara's birthday or something. And we did like one video or something for my channel or whatever, and like a vlog or whatever. And then we just eventually kind of started like just being friends, but then also just slowly like I kind of came into the picture, and that definitely like made me learn about YouTube more in the modern time, because you know I kind of checked out for like a year or two or so, and like a lot changes in that time, so it kind of brought my spark back to a degree. And but yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of what I'm trying to do nowadays, like at least how I feel, and I don't know if it's going to perform as well or what, I kind of want to just bring back, I know like we brought up that we have the old school YouTube vibe, but I kind of almost want it to be even more so old school YouTube vibe.
In terms of what?
I don't know, just like really like, I still want it to be well edited and stuff, like to a degree, and like smooth and good audio and everything, but I just kind of want it to be like, not as like me overthinking content, I guess, and just kind of like, every now and then if I just feel like doing a video, I guess it's like a personal thing. I just want to be able to like, if I have something that feels really like special, do it. And if I have something that feels a little more laid back, do it as well. I kind of just want to be able to do it all.
Are you getting in your head more now because you're getting so many views on these things that you've been doing for so long?
Yeah, I mean, to a degree, yeah. I mean, I've always been in my head, though. I'm my worst critic. I'm, like, instantly the one to shut myself down just because then no one else can do it first or whatever. I'm, like, ready. But, yeah, no, I mean, it definitely – I got originally, like, popular, I would say, online for being very vulnerable with my feelings and stuff, and now the moment that I say anything, I get – ridiculed for it, even if I'm trying to be as honest as I can be. And I'm not trying to be always a woe is me person, but I try to just be honest because that's what I feel is very important about YouTube. I felt like that was what made it so special to me. And I get so criticized, especially on like Reddit, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, any of those platforms, because I'm not perfect with everything, you know. Yeah, so I do overthink that. I recently just did like a little update video because I went through like some like heartbreak stuff, and I went through some, you know, being sick for like 2 weeks, so I didn't post on my main channel for like 2 weeks, which is a very long time for me. And I just wanted to update people though, because I felt really weird just coming back and being like, here's a video of me turning Carrington emo or whatever, or here's me eating food and stuff. I just felt like that was just not, I just don't want to do, act like, I want to keep the humanness of me, even if like not everyone's going to appreciate it, because I feel like it's what I was really drawn to.
How do you view all of your content? Do you view it as everyone being your friend, so you do want to update them with that kind of stuff?
I don't know. I mean, I guess there's just a line. I don't know. I don't really view it as like, oh, we're friends necessarily, but I just feel that...
Is it more of like a diary?
A diary for sure, to a degree, but also just like, I don't know, just the same way that I view people I watch, I guess, is how I want to be viewed. So like the people that have like helped me, I just want to be... someone that people actually, I don't think a lot of these social media creators or whatever are usually that different than how they seem in videos. Maybe that's my own personal experience, and also just being a online creator as well could change that as well to where people like maybe treat me differently. But I feel like most people are just kind of their authentic self for the most part, unless if they're doing like a very high production video where they don't show their personality at all. And so I just want to be like that with my own personality, and hopefully people resonate with it. And I want it to hopefully tie into my music as well and make people connect with that even harder and everything, and just kind of be the whole thing and be something I could do as a career, but also something that's just people enjoy and is there for people and maybe helps me as well. So
in the pie chart of your time,
yeah,
how much is YouTube and music and then personal time?
I feel like nowadays, I don't know, music is pretty often. I mean, I'm just getting my voice fully back, so I haven't been able to do it as well as I was, but I mean, I'm always writing for the most part and just jamming on my guitar and doing covers because I just like to. It like is the one thing that, I don't know, just makes me feel better. And so I would say like, I don't know, like 40% at least that. And then YouTube is with like live streaming and everything too, I don't know, like 30 to 40 easily. Like, and then personal time, I don't know, 20 or whatever, but like, even if that's not even, I don't know what the actual numbers are, but a lot of my personal time is usually spent with me decompressing, which is actually doing nothing for the most part. Like I'll have a messy room and I won't even like mentally get to it because I, and I'll have to like ask my sister for help because I'm like, I can't take this on right now if you can help me. And,
what is the wind down time look like for you? Just watching TV?
I wish, like, I mean, I do watch TV, but it's only at nighttime usually because I'm, like, falling asleep, so I'll just turn it on. But usually wind down time, it's me, like, eating my food with my two monitors in front of me, watching a Twitch streamer while also having my YouTube open, watching a YouTube podcast, and then going through Twitter. and then just overthinking everything and thinking about my life and going, like, and that's I would even say that's like most of my life actually. Like I do YouTube and music constantly, but on top of that I'm doing that constantly of just scrolling through stuff and like almost like, yeah, looking at stuff that's negative towards me as well. I do that a lot, so I really I'm really healthy.
You're the perfect customer for the Vision Pros.
Yeah, oh yeah.
To have your
just life. Everything everywhere I turn just is something new. But yeah, no, I mean, like, yeah, my wind down time is just me really just being a social media nerd for the most part.
Who are you consuming now? Who do you watch?
Everyone. It's funny, I'm not even always that invested into everyone's content, but I just, don't know what else to do with my time in life. So I just kind of am like, all right, here it is. Like occasionally, you know, there's something that I'm like, oh, that's exciting, I'll check that out or whatever. That's something that I'm personally interested in. But I don't know who I actively watch that much. I feel like YouTube hasn't really had that for me in a while. And I think a lot of people probably relate where it's like your person. I don't really know who my person is on YouTube, like my squad. So I don't know. I mean, I used to watch a lot of like H3 and stuff like that, just like, you know, podcast stuff, just to like stay up to date with stuff. But it just depends on what's going on that week as well.
What about music stuff? Like we talked about games we play, water parks.
Yeah.
Who else are you really invested in?
Like, as I mean, it's probably the same people I've been invested into since I was a kid for the most part, which was like my second concert was the Ready Set. I mean, Never Shout Never.
Are you friends with Jordan?
Yeah. Yeah. He did an album for me in 2018, actually. And
what do you mean? He produced it?
He produced it, yeah. So that was really cool. Yeah, it was really cool. The second concert I went to, I got like the VIP experience. And then I hung out with him on Warped Tour back in the day as a kid and stuff, too. And it was just like.
Did he remember really cool. you from that?
Oh yeah, I'm sure. I didn't ask him, but I'm sure we've known each other, so, which is weird, but it's great. He's very talented. And then and then Panic! The Disco, especially their early stuff, that was huge for me. And I still reminisce on that stuff. Or I really like the last couple years. I got really into The Cure and Elliot Smith. And
did you ever meet Brendan?
Brendan Urie?
Yeah.
No, I haven't. I saw him play live at the APMA Awards, which was like the alternate press award show at one point, but I didn't ever meet him. I would be kind of nervous to meet him. That would be pretty crazy. That's like, because like for me, that's like, you know, that is like a lot of these bands were like the Warped Tour kind of bands, and they're still, it was still very exciting. But Panic! The Disco's like always been like a band that's like mainstream at this point. I mean, they've been mainstream, and they're also still a part of that, and I've been invested in them for so long, like Ryan Ross and all that stuff. So it would be, that'd be a very cool experience. Or Gerard Way as well. Like, obviously, everyone wants to meet Mike Hem.
Have you ever met him?
No. I've never even seen them. I was going to see them, but then COVID happened and they canceled the show, so I didn't get to see them. But maybe when we were young this year, maybe I'll be there.
Blink was cool. Always mine, and I met Mark the other day.
Oh, really?
It was life-changing.
Were you just at an event or something? Or?
I was at an event, a food festival, and as soon as I walked in, he was right there.
That's crazy.
I was waiting for the right moment, and like 2 hours went by before my wife nudged me, and I said hi to his wife, and then his wife introduced me to Mark, and then we talked.
You've probably met a lot of people at this point, right? Like, just from being out in LA and everything, and like just being... Do you like... Because, like, I'm sure years ago, maybe you would have handled meeting Mark, like, differently, right? Like, it would have been, like, a little more, like, but, like...
No, I was still ah.
You were still ah, but, like, were you, like, surprised by the way that you, like, go up to someone now, though? Like, the way that you interact with them and, like...
I won't really go up to anybody unless I have a reason for it.
Yeah.
Like, if I saw something that they were in... I want to keep everything as genuine as possible.
Yeah.
So, if I just saw something that they were in or something that they were in...
Give them some flowers for that, yeah.
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 But I wouldn't just go up to be like, hey, I'm Joe.
Yeah. I feel like back in the day for me, it was just, like, such a, like, I got to get a photo with everyone and all that stuff. But now it's, like... Unless if I really, really am invested in the person, I'm going to, like... I don't even know if I would, like, say anything. I just kind of, like, am like, oh, it's cool enough to just see that they exist in person.
Totally. I saw Scottie Pippen at a farmer's market.
And I have no idea who that is.
What basketball the fuck? Player?
Oh, that is my demographic, yeah.
You know, Scottie Pippen from the Bulls?
I thought that was some, like, Irish guy or something. Scottie Pippen.
Scottie Pippen. He was the only person I've ever really asked for a photo.
Okay.
But I said it when his back was turned, and then I turned around, and then he turned around, and my wife was like, there he is. And then when I turned back around, he turned around, so I didn't get the photo.
But at least you asked.
I did. I had the balls to ask.
Yeah, that is ballsy, honestly, but... Damn, Mark Hoppus, that's awesome.
That was such a cool moment.
That is really cool.
And then anytime I meet any of the bands, they're like, I'm so excited because I'm such a fan of their art.
Yeah, so like actually getting to talk to them and like have a conversation is just so awesome. I always like would hear that from people because I was always just, I mean, it's nice to get a photo and stuff. It's cool. But now I really like feel like, man, just like having an actual conversation. Like we went to Coachella and I had a conversation with the new vocalist of Sublime, like,
which was like the band. His son, right?
Yeah, his son. And that was, like, so cool to me. And I was like, dude, I'm so excited to see you play. Like, I saw that you were, like, just joining. And they killed it. And I was just like, wow. That was, like, the highlight of my day. Like, just to even have a, he's just a regular guy, but like just to have a conversation with him was just like, whoa, this is cool.
What was the backstage like for you at Coachella?
We were like VIP. We had to pay. I spent too much money. But it was cool. I was just getting, like I said, over being sick. So that kind of sucked. I was still going through some like stuff personal life wise. So that was a little tough. But besides that, it was a really cool experience. It was really weird to like just be around. I mean, like Matty Healy from the 1975 is walking around and Evan Peters and all these people like.
Did he perform?
No, they're just there. They're just chilling.
Did you see Taking Back Sunday?
I didn't. I was going to, but we were like, I would always be with like Jake or Tara or whatever. Like,
and
or,
they didn't want to?
It wasn't even just that. It was like, that was like the third day. And it was like in the general stuff and like there's no like VIP. It just gets kind of tiring. Like to, because we went out there for like Ice Spice and stuff like that. And it just like, or Deftones. And you just get kind of like, it's nice to meet people, but also at like an event like that, it's a lot sometimes. And like, you get tired. It's hot as fuck. And like, you just, you know, so it's just like, are you, I don't know. It's a mission to get to the actual area. And then when you are there, you're going to every now and then get tapped on the shoulder and stuff. And this makes me sound like a total douchebag, but
no.
But it is like, yeah, like we were just not up for it at that point. And I was like, okay, I'll see them again. Like whatever. So. Right.
Are you going to Sad Summerfest?
If they invite me. So, have me come.
Are you a fan of the Maine and Mayday?
I love Mayday Parade. My first EPs I did were with the people that did Mayday Parade. It's like, you know, they're Less Than Romantics and all that shit. So, like,
who's that?
The studio?
Yeah.
It's called ZK Studio, Zach and Kenneth. And
they, yeah. Ken Mount?
Yeah. Yeah. Damn, you're tapped in.
I know all of them. Yeah, I loved buying CDs and seeing everything on the inside.
Yeah, I mean, they did like some of the Ready Set stuff and We Are the End Crowd, too, right? All Time Low, Cartel. Yeah, so they're like very pop punk boys.
Did you have MySpace?
No, I'm 26, so I kind of like, I could have had it, but I was like on like the part where like you kind of are like not getting it. So I did like Facebook. That was when like Facebook was becoming trendy though, because.
When you had to get invited?
No, just like it was just becoming like the big thing. Like, remember, like there was a point where emo bands especially were getting so many likes on Facebook. Like, I mean, if you look at like some of these bands, like they have like 2 million likes on Facebook, which is like, I mean, now they probably get like no likes because like no one really
uses it
as much unless they're like a grandma or a mom. But back in the day, it was like that was like the trendy thing. It was like on the upcome with the young crowd. And then that lasted like 3 years or something maybe.
Were you on Pure Volume and Absolute Punk?
I wasn't on it, but I know of Pure Volume. I don't even remember. Pure Volume, was that just like to music like stuff?
Just
like,
for music.
Yeah. I mean, there was like Glamour Kills. There was like all these like alternative things. There was a, God, what was that one? There was like these performances they would always do. I don't remember. There's so many, but yeah. I wish I could remember all the emo stuff, but I'm forgetting.
Did you play into many trends?
Like what? Like YouTube trends?
Yeah, YouTube trends, TikTok trends. Do you lean into those?
Depends on my mood that day. Everything depends on my mood that hour. To a degree, I guess. Like, yeah, I mean, I mean, when I started on YouTube, what was trendy was to make clickbaity sexual content. So I did do that. Like, it was like, ew, like, he kissed a boy, shit like that. I wouldn't do that nowadays, but, like, that was, in the way I did that, and then I would do, like, the cinnamon challenge and all that stuff, like, you know, which was fun. I liked doing those type of things. Like, challenge videos were awesome.
Cinnamon challenge,
stuff like that, you know, salt and ice challenge, all that. Charlie,
oh my
Charlie,
God.
Yeah. I did like doing that stuff, but yeah, I mean, I catered to what would do well to a degree, and I still kind of do, you know. I mean, recently I don't know who I've become, but I started lip syncing like songs on TikTok, just trying to look hot. Yeah, and I'm like, but I'm kind of enjoying it right now, and I know like. And, you know, a few weeks from now, I'm going to, like, put this in a cringe compilation and react to it for a video. But, yeah, no, I've been doing that. I don't know. I for the most part, though, what I've always, like, stuck to is just sharing my personality and, like, maybe some, like, silly videos and just playing music, really, and trying to get good, even though people, like, so, yeah, you suck or you're monotone or whatever. But you just do what you do. You know?
Can you see yourself always posting on the internet? Like, this is just so much fun.
It's not a fun word. Yeah, I mean, like, well, the thing is, even though I shit on it, I would miss it for sure. Like, I would not do it for like 3 days or 2 days and I'd be losing my mind, because I've done that and I go, ugh. So I definitely am addicted. But do I see myself posting forever? Depends. I mean, maybe we'll see. I think to a degree. I don't see why I wouldn't like at least be posting photos and doing my little, like, I don't know, just playing my guitar or, like, you know, doing my stories and stuff. I don't know if I'd be like, I'm a YouTuber forever though, because like if I were to hypothetically get like really popular with music and go on tours, I would still want somebody to like film my like day and like do a vlog style video and then like come on, you know, the road with me and edit my videos and stuff and do that, because I feel it's very important to have your personality mixed in with art. At least for me, it's really made me connect to artists more, so I want to keep that alive. But I don't really know. I mean, we'll see, you know. I'm still pretty young at this point, 26, so we'll, you know, who knows where life will take me. But
if you can have anyone guest feature on one of your songs, who would it be?
Honestly, I think there's a couple, but I mean, Ryan Ross from Panic the Disco, I think would be so cool.
Does he sing?
He does, but he mostly only did like feature vocals in like Panic the Disco, and then he had another band right after when they broke up, he left the band.
What was that called?
It was called the Young Veins, and yes. It was like a more, yeah, like kind of like beachy, Beach Boys kind of vibe. So I would really like to have him on there, just because that would be so, I don't know, I just feel like he was such an inspiration for his style and outfits and for me, and his writing style. He wrote like all their original stuff pretty much, and
on the debut, right?
On the debut and the second album.
Yes.
And
did you like the second one?
I love the second one. That was the first album I bought.
Really?
In Target. Yeah, I love it. I think the thing I loved about Panic the Disco was they were so diverse and they just did it, and I know a lot of people can't, you know, and it's not gonna be for everyone or whatever, or maybe you have a preference, but I just think it's so cool to like just be like, this is what we're going to do for this record, and just do it. And then the next one could be completely different. Like each song I do personally, I like to just do whatever the hell I feel like doing that day. So, you know, if it's a little more emo, then cool. If it's a little more pop, then cool.
That's what I love about the main.
Yeah. They just kind of do whatever.
Do whatever. And every 2 years there's a new album.
Yeah.
And they do it.
That's freaking
And they're
sick.
Self-sufficient. It's crazy.
Yeah. I think also, I mean, obviously Gerard Way and Robert Smith from The Cure would be great. And then, Elliot Smith would be cool too, but he's dead. So
maybe they'll come back,
but we'll bring him back.
We'll get some AI
for a Johnny Gilbert feature. But yeah, I don't know, I'm pretty down to do songs with whoever though, as long as I like their art.
You did the Emo's Not Dead cruise?
Yeah.
How was that?
That was my second time doing it, and they're the best. I love them. I think they're so cool, and I hope to see their brand keep on growing. I hope they eventually bring stuff to land. I think that'd be really cool, and I love it. I mean, they hooked me up. I got a room. They got a room for, yeah, well, I had one room, but it was like for me and two friends. So I had one friend to be in the video, and then I had my other friend like filming it, but he also was in the videos a little bit. And I just did a vlog. I just wanted to do the vlog. They didn't ask me to do anything like that. I just wanted to share my experience with it. And it was great. I mean, everyone's just chilling. Like I'm just constantly getting drunk and being around. I'm just around these bands. Like I remember the first year I went, like Ryan from Yellow Card was like pouring me a drink, and I'm just like, this is fucking sick. And then, like, you know, I'm meeting Dashboard Confessional, and I didn't even know their music at the time. And then, like, I find them because of the cruise. My friend knew them, but I wasn't tapped in with Dashboard, and I'm just like, wow, I like fall in love with this band. And yeah, the whole way the cruise is set up and just that brand, they're just very like genuine about it, and I just am very stoked to, you know, be friends with them and be invited to stuff like that. And
do you connect with Dashboard
musically?
Yeah. Solo guy with acoustic?
Yeah, for sure. Definitely. And that's why it was so surprising that it took me that long to like find their music. And I was just like blown away by it. Well, it was funny, like I was just getting really into Elliot Smith at that time, and I brought it up to him, and he was like, that was like a friend of his I didn't even know. And I was like, oh my god, sorry. but also I was just like, that makes sense why I was so into them, or that they even connected, because Elliot was also just an acoustic artist, and then Dashboard is like full band but also just mainly primarily like an acoustic artist. And yeah, I like to do full band stuff, but I also just love that stripped down acoustic stuff, and a lot of that just stems from watching Never Shout Never as a kid and seeing the guy with the cool hair, and he's just playing an acoustic guitar and ukulele. And
do you talk with Christopher Drew ever?
No, I haven't talked to him like since like 2018 or something, like since Warped Tour or whatever. But there was a period where we would be around each other, and like I used to call my fans Thug Pugs. I still kind of do, which was my like fan base name as a kid. And there was one point I was sitting down with him, and he like saw like the fan merch, and he was like, Thug Pug for life. He just like did this like laugh, and I was just like, It was like with my friend or whatever. So, but I mean, he was really cool though. I mean, like, he was just like, he's a very interesting character, but he is so talented, and hopefully one day he like picks up the guitar again. We'll see. But
I hope so too. I was such a fan.
God, I mean, what he did was just so good. He's just so good. So we'll see, you know.
But people were calling him the next Beatles, and I was.
They were saying the Beatles. They were saying Bieber. Like, they were like, yeah. I mean, I've heard a lot of stories about Never Shall Never. Like, whether he was gonna be like possibly the next. I mean, he was gonna possibly be Justin Bieber, but like in the sense of being like that mainstream. But I guess he just didn't want to go for that route, from what I've heard. But yeah, he really like, either way, what he did like definitely impacted a lot of people's music taste and aesthetic as well and everything. And I don't know how hard he was trying to, you know, make his own thing, but he definitely did, for sure. So
shout out Joplin, Missouri.
Yeah, shout out to Joplin.
What was he like on Warped Tour?
He's just oddball a little bit. I didn't really get to know him super deeply, but you know, every day he was just kind of like, just, I don't know, he was like meditating and stuff and chilling and
spiritual
to a degree, or just like kind of loosey-goosey. Like, I mean, there was one point, like, I remember like at the APMA awards, he was just like really drunk and fun and like silly, and I just thought that was like, that was really fun to see. So, and then just, I don't know, like the way that, like, he'll be on stage and just be saying like some really strange jokes, like just like not like in a bad way, but just like dad jokes or something. And I was just like, it's just sometimes people's delivery is just so fun, and just, I don't know,
I thought he posted that he was releasing something new soon.
He was, and then he like took it down and stuff. I think he's like at this point where he just kind of goes back and forth on things, which I totally relate to, because I even like have moments where I'm like, I'm gonna private all my YouTube videos, and then I do, and then I'm like, I want to make them public again and stuff. So I think he's been at like a point like that a little bit. And yeah, from what I know now, he's just like focused on like painting and stuff and isn't really doing music. So we'll see.
I'm such a fan.
I know, he'd kill it right now too. Him and like Metro Station, they would, those two artists, if they like came back and like went hard, they would be like taking over like When We Were Young and shit like that. People would go crazy.
Oh, I have some secret intel of who's coming back at who When We Were Young.
Ooh.
I'll tell you after.
I heard, yeah, I mean, even like seeing like Say Anything like come back too. Like, I was like, they're one of my favorite bands as well. And like, that's somebody I've talked to about possibly doing a song, is Max.
You could definitely get him on, no?
It'd be, yeah, he like
brought, he was doing that song a day.
Yeah, he like brought it up to me like randomly on email, and I was like, I just haven't gotten to it, but like, I would love to do a song with him. Or my friends, I Set My Friends on Fire too. They're like a very emo band. I would love to do,
of course,
something with them, because they're just so fun. So,
can I read off bands and you tell me if you know them?
Okay, that's a fun game.
Hang on, I gotta go into my emo playlist.
If it's in an emo playlist, I can guarantee I'll know at least two of them. I'm very tapped in.
Obviously, Neck Deep, Real Friends, yeah. Mayday, Cute Is What We Aim For, Somerset.
Mm.
We Are the
Oh, it went bye bye. Oh, it got hot.
It's just the wide.
Oh, we lost the wide.
Yeah.
Do we just let it go bye bye?
Yeah.
Okay. It'll bye wide.
Bye wide. Cobra Starship.
Oh, yeah. I just hung out with Gabe Saporta.
Did you?
He was at Water Park Show. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Was he by you?
Yeah. He, well, at some points.
Okay.
Not, maybe not the whole time, but at some points, yeah.
Hit the Lights?
Ah, Hit the Lights. I don't know if I know that. Maybe I know the name, but.
Farewell.
Farewell? That's just called Farewell? Oh, I'm not tapped in. Copyright claim. No, I don't think I do, but that's some synthy shit.
Dangerous Summer?
Mm.
Dangerous Summer?
I don't think I'm tapped in on all this MySpace stuff. I'm on the big dogs.
Phoenix TX?
No.
Whoa. You're Bloodhound Gang?
Bloodhound Gang sounds really familiar.
Not so much emo. They did.
They like, yeah.
You and me, yeah. Baby. And,
no. Yeah, they like are banned from a certain country. Yeah.
Germany.
Yeah. I know. I actually really like Bloodhound Gang.
Forever the Sickest Kids?
I know of them, yeah.
Rocket
weren't
the
they? Moon. Wasn't Forever the Sickest Kids like friends with Selena Gomez at one point?
Or was that they were.
Yeah. In the scene.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Rocket to the Moon?
I know of them, yeah. I mean, I didn't really listen to them much.
Messed.
No.
Really?
Never heard of Mess. Okay. I don't think anyone here heard of Mess.
Do you know Mess? No? Okay, they don't either. Hometown Anthem?
Dude, you're hitting me with some deep cuts, because I have no idea. I know some MySpace deep cuts, but I didn't know these existed.
I Call Fives.
No.
There's somebody, there's like one person out there who's like, yes!
Like, what? What? I Call Five?
Old School from First to Last?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, of course.
And new, obviously.
I mean, yeah, just, yeah.
Motion City?
Yeah.
Relying K?
I know of them, yeah.
Echo Smith?
Mm-hmm. They were on Warped Tour when I was.
Oh, yeah, they were.
Well, Cool Kids came out.
Hobo Johnson?
Yeah, I mean, is that Hobo Johnson?
Just a great artist.
Echo Smith, Hobo Johnson.
You know these new age emos.
Yeah, I guess, I don't know if Hobo Johnson's emo, but sure.
You should get a song with him. He'd be cool.
I don't even know his music very well. Did he have the Peach Scones one or something?
Yeah, that's his.
Yeah, I kind of, he like does like spoken stuff a little bit.
Very.
Yeah, I heard when he was like coming up. I've heard a couple songs, but
yeah,
you know, not what's, super tapped in.
What's on the horizon for you now?
I don't know. I'm just kind of doing my thing. I guess I'm working on a new music video again, because why not? I have like a whole album kind of done, so I'll just probably throw that out there and see if anyone cares. And then if no one does, then I'll just work on the next one. And then
care on that one.
Yeah, as long as I can afford to keep on making it, I'll keep on doing that, I guess. And then I'm doing like a cover album as well right now. So next month I'm taking like 10 songs that I like and just covering them and making them worse. And,
all acoustic?
Currently I did a Kiss Me cover from that, like, Kiss Me. So I have that. That one is more acoustic, kind of lo-fi kind of feeling. It's kind of more sad. I don't know. It depends on what I want to do, but I think mostly acoustic is cool. It adds a different vibe, so we'll see. It just depends on when I'm in the studio and what I'm feeling that day.
Yeah.
And what my producer is kind of like feeling as well. And besides that, just getting back into filming YouTube videos and doing live streaming. I've been trying to get back into that really hard and working on some merch stuff and... Yeah, maybe doing some collab videos every now and then, and I don't really know what else there is, really. I think that's kind of just life at that point, and yeah, maybe eventually find a girlfriend. That'd be cool.
I want to see you try Dave's Hot Chicken Reaper.
Oh, that's rude.
I feel like you'd kill that video.
I love Dave's Hot Chicken, though. That is actually like my favorite place to eat at.
Have you done the hot one?
Which one's the hot one?
What is Reaper?
Oh, no. Jake has. I didn't do it.
You should take a bite of it. It'd be such a good live stream.
You know what? I might actually do it.
I'll send it to you.
I'll do it. Because I can get, like, then I can at least get, like, a regular one with it. Because you get, like, two sandwiches. So I'll get a regular one, like a medium or whatever.
They're like, who is this guy?
Yeah. And then I'll get the Reaper one just to do for stream. Oh, my God. I'm becoming Jake content. I'm just eating food now.
Do it.
Yeah, I know. I got it. I just did, like, Mr. Beast Burger for my live stream channel and, like, drank some, like, one of those, like, you know that they have, like, the mocha, like, Hostess drinks or whatever, like, Twinkie flavored.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I tried those. They all tasted pretty much the same.
Yeah.
They were good, though.
All sugar. So,
yeah, it's just, like, mochas.
I'm surprised Mr. Beast Burger's still around.
I thought it was gone.
Me too.
That's why, like, I tried it, and it was, like, pretty good, which is crazy, because I had it before, like, one item or so, and it was, like, not to par.
Yeah.
Their packaging is, like, really decked out now, like
way more. Maybe the guy, whoever was doing it, saved it.
Yeah, I heard like maybe they were like, from what I was told, I think they sold it to someone else or something to take over. I'm not sure, but
yeah, Mr. Beast Burger's still here.
Yeah, I thought they announced like, oh, they're not doing it anymore. And I had those new, like, this sounds like a Mr. Beast sponsor, but the Feastables nowadays, way better.
So good.
They're actually so good.
Well, because wasn't the old one like four ingredients, and now I'm sure there's more.
I have no idea, but like the packaging and everything, I sound like Mr. Beast. Just give me money. Give me money in Feastables.
Would you do one of his challenges?
Depends. Like, is it like a kissing challenge with Mr. Beast?
Yeah, whoever kisses Mr. Beast the longest.
I'd win. No, yeah, I think so. Why not? Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to try Mr. Beast Burger.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, I'm going to be honest. I mean, it was good. Okay, you know what I liked? The Mr. Beast Burger was the best one.
Uh-huh.
I did not really care for the Chris one with the fries. That was kind of whatever. The Carl Grilled Cheese was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. But it was like $7 for a grilled cheese.
It's such a good standard. It's not as bad as I thought it would be.
Yeah. But the Mr. Beast Burger was good. Yeah, so just get that. Don't get the fries. The fries are kind of ass.
I won't.
Okay. All Unless right. if I'm sponsored, then they're great.
Mr. Beast, if you're watching this, I know you are.
They're good ass then.
So good.
But yeah, no, that's pretty much all I'm up to. I'm just kind of just trying to make content and come up with cool merch things that I could do. And just existing, trying to branch out and party a little bit. By party for me is like going to a party where people are existing, and then I'm the guy just drinking Jack, and just that's it. That's the party for me, watching other people exist and then going home.
Do you get hammered?
I don't know. What is like what does hammered mean? Like you're like woo?
Yeah, sloppy.
I don't get too sloppy anymore. I just kind of I can drink a pretty good amount without getting hammered at this point. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it since I was like 15, so I've been pretty good.
Are you going to are you guys going to Barney's?
We do. We've gone a lot, but I don't know if it's kind of like, I don't know if it's like still like the place to go to or what. I just went, so like a week ago or something.
Yeah,
so.
I saw you guys there.
Yeah, Barney's is it's all right. I mean, it's really crowded.
Right.
Everything cool is, though, I guess, right? So you don't want to go somewhere that's not crowded.
I feel like it's popping up lately. Like, Bieber was there the other day.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit. Damn. I missed out. I would have fanboyed. No, I'm just kidding. I know when we went, Ashton Irwin was right there, too.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. I, like, gave him one of these. I didn't actually do that.
What did he give back?
I didn't give him anything. Hell no. I just said, oh, that's cool. Maybe he recognizes me from the emo billboard I did. I did this emo billboard for Adobe Radio, and it was, like, in front of Coachella, and, like, he, like, held a card at when we were young with it, I guess. Uh-huh. With me, like, just doing, like, some pose in a suit, pretending to be a lawyer. So, I don't know. But
would you ever do a podcast?
That's a good question. I thought about it. I think ideally it'd be cool. It's just like the hard part with a podcast, at least if like Jake and I were to do it or whatever, like I know like Tara brought up like doing her own podcast eventually. Obviously she's on Dropouts now. And then, but like at one point we were bringing up like all three of us doing a podcast as well, like, which I also think could be cool. But it's just like the hard thing is like having a conversation that we wouldn't already just have on our YouTube channel as well.
Right. To divvy it up.
Yeah. Like you would almost like need to do it with someone that you don't do your YouTube videos with as often, because then you wouldn't have, you know, this like crossover of having the same conversation and stuff, or you'd have something new to talk about. So I'm not really sure, but I wouldn't be against it. It's just another thing to take on. But
what would the dream podcast name be between you, Jake, and Tara?
I have no idea, honestly.
Do people call you guys a fandom name yet? Like the three of you?
No. I don't think so.
What are we waiting on?
They call us like the triplets. No, I'm just kidding.
Triplets.
I don't know who they call us. They call us, well, a lot of people call us annoying or pick me's. No, I'm just kidding.
That's the annoying squad. The annoying podcast.
A lot of people call me the emo one. That's just, yeah, just something's not right with. I really don't. I guess they would call it emo and then autistic and then short. And that would be the podcast name.
EAS, the EAS squad.
Oh, that's not good. I thought it was going to spell like ass or something, and you said EAS, and I was like, damn it.
Yeah.
Ass, I guess ass wouldn't have worked either, but but yeah, maybe one day. I don't know. I would be open to it. I like being on people's podcasts, though, and if I can make time for it, maybe I'll do it, but I don't know. It's just, if I did it, I would want to be like all in, like really going to do it, and I'm just scared of running out of topics, and I don't really like meeting new people and like, you know, you're a brave person for having like random people on your podcast constantly. You're like, here, like, come on. And I've never met you, which is great. I don't know if I could do that. So,
you can do it.
Yeah, but I feel like I could do it for like a month and then I'm like, holy shit, I'm like not feeling like doing it now.
Yeah.
So, and that scares me. So, you know.
It's like hitting the lottery when people respond to me. Like,
really?
Really? You'll come by? That's sick.
I mean, it is a thing to get people to leave their house for sure. That's
crazy.
A mission. But
yeah, thank you so much for coming here.
You're welcome. You know, just send me the $12,000.
No,
just kidding.
Yeah, no, I'll have my, hang on, I'll send it now.
No, it's fine. It's fine. We could do it off camera so I don't look like a douche. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, no, thanks for having me. It's been freaking awesome. I'm very excited to be on this, and hopefully it was entertaining. And if it wasn't, don't worry, the next episode will be.
Guys, thanks so much for watching. Make sure to check out Johnny's gimmick link down below. And go subscribe to his YouTube channel and both channels. Live channel,
yeah.
Main channel.
Yeah.
Music.
Yes. And subscribe to this one.
Yeah, subscribe to this one. What are you doing?
Okay, bye.
See ya. Lightweights, out. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.